Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Twitter Wars, new top contenders, ratings, and more. This is WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. Thanks again, Matt, for 51 months. You can also use credit card Rocket Socket before night at Item Shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. Keishi's gone curling. He'll be back in the spring. But we have the intern, Kane Kittens.
Hello!
And making it by the skin of his teeth. The one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, you already started the intros and stuff like that and I missed it?
You did.
Well, I was a little bit on the busy side, but I did what I could.
You made it right before I introduced you, so...
That's all that counts.
It's all that really, really...
Really freaking matters.
No, we cannot impeach Tim. We're impeaching Lone Jobber. December 2nd. The trial.
Hey. Okay, that makes no sense. First off, we don't have impeachment in Canada.
That's why we're not impeaching you. We're impeaching Lone Jobber on December 2nd, the trial of Lone Jobber. Be there.
But I can tell you, there's a lot of Canadians wishing we did have it.
Anyway, so there.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, it's WTR Sunday.
So what is... Wait a minute. What is this impeachment of Lone Jobber thing?
He's the president who doesn't show up, so we're going to put him on trial.
Where the hell is he?
He's going on trial for dereliction of duty.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been over a year. He hasn't shown up, so...
Yeah, but he's going on trial for something not related to smut. That's weird for a change.
You don't know. We haven't fully developed our findings yet. We have 7 weeks.
So he could be like the last four presidents. Okay,
he could. We good. Tune in December 2nd. We're going to put him on, the whole trial on. And Brent's writing up the papers.
We're going to send him articles of impeachment so he knows what the charges are. He will have a chance to offer a rebuttal. We have found him an attorney that will preside for him at the hearing.
Cool.
It's the godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks.
So
the vice president.
The vice president. So we're going to figure it all out.
So if he gets impeached, does that make Rob the president?
It would.
That's awesome. Who's the Speaker of the House?
I don't think we have a Speaker of the House.
That's weird. Okay, you know what, Rock? I think unofficially you are.
No, I am impartial. I don't have any roles in
He's the, Switzerland.
I'm Switzerland.
So, hey, Brent, what's new with you this week?
Nothing much. Actually, Rock gets to be the Chief Justice that presides over the trial.
Indeed.
That's what we decide.
That's what we decided last night. But December 2nd will be 16 years of CB Radio. Episode 800 is this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, tune in. Definitely make sure you don't miss that. Rock, what's new in your world this week?
I've had no power all day, so let's do a show about wrestling.
That sucks. You know, you should ask me about what's new in my world this week.
Tim, what's new in your world this week?
I got a truck. A new truck.
Okay, let's define new.
New to me, it's a 2004 Ford Ranger.
Okay.
It's a 5-speed standard.
Okay.
Did I say it's red?
But no, but that's not surprising for you.
Well, that was what was, you know, of all of the trucks I looked at, this is the one that actually works.
Okay.
And so,
how many miles?
No, we do kilometers.
How many kilometers on it?
Like 285,000.
Okay.
About.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's new to him. That's all that matters, Chip. Just new to him. It'll get him from place to place.
So, if you look in the Discord chat room.
Okay. I mean, it's better than the last car you showed me, so congrats.
And I actually fixed the dent on the driver's door today.
Okay.
And I sent you another picture, and that's what it looks like after the fixing the dent, working on the dent.
Is the hood a different color?
The hood, it's all faded out. I've got the color match paint for the hood, so it's going to match.
Congrats, Tim.
So,
GGs.
Yeah.
GGs in chat.
GGs, let's give everyone GGs in chat.
What's, huh? What is that?
Good game, but just congrats. GGs.
Oh, okay. Good game. Fair enough.
Anywho.
I mean, now that you have the pictures, Rock, you can throw them up and let the chat room see my new truck.
That's work and effort. Just talk about things.
Talk about things, but, you know, while we're talking about it, you know, multitask.
I am. Just talk so I can put them up on the thing.
Okay. So, tonight, everybody, we're going to talk wrestling because that's what we do. We talk about other shit, but, you know, primarily and predominantly wrestling. Isn't that right, Brent?
Yep.
We're not going to talk about what a lot of people are thinking is a massive faux pas that happened on AEW. We'll skip that and just get into other things.
Yeah, we're not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole,
or even.
But maybe not if even we are going to talk about, if we do want to talk about AEW, hey Rock. So something fun happened earlier this week.
We're going to get to it before, but his picture is now on the screen, so that people can see him in the world. So there you go. If you're at twitch.tv/number2live, you can see a picture. If not, you can probably go to @flamesforum.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It hasn't been posted there.
Eventually.
Well, there's a picture on Tim's_toolbox.
There you go. One of them. There you go.
On Twitter. Well, X. But it's not a post, it's a reply.
Anyway, there's the car. Now I'm going to take it off the screen. Let's talk professional wrestling. Pink.
My screen just says a little yellow half circle circling. That's weird.
Okay. Anywho, Brent.
I was just saying.
The ratings war of 2023.
Yes, the precursor to the ratings war of 2020. Or I'm sorry, the bidding war of 2024.
No, it's the first ratings war of 2023 until the next one next month. Because there's another one. This time, Collision and Rampage go up against SmackDown.
So is this why all of the Raw and SmackDown stars were booked for NXT?
There were a variety of reasons why a lot of the superstars were booked on NXT.
And this was just one of them.
This was one of them, yes. This is why they broke the glass and brought out The Undertaker, who brought his gear this time and did not leave it at home.
He came rolling up to the arena.
So, Brent, what's your thoughts on the ratings war of 2023?
So, in the day leading, or I'm sorry, the day of, so the day previous and the day of, we had what would generously be discussed as a giant dick measuring contest between both companies.
It really was like the night before during Raw, it felt like.
It was a little bit of that, and then Tony, I think, extended it into the next day because he kept changing things on his end.
Maybe. Okay.
Oh. oh, you're going 30 minutes? Well, we're going to go 35, and we're going to add a pre-show, and we're going to do this.
And then so, the extended times, and yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to have a 10-minute overrun? We're going to have a 13-minute overrun. How about that? So it became this contest back and forth with everything, and Tony was in fine Tony form being on Twitter the day before, the day of. And then we got the ratings.
Yeah.
And in a way that I would say is very generous, WWE beat the shit out of AEW.
In total and viewership, yes.
In the reason I say that is because in total viewership, they had 300,000 more people watching. That is a third of what the audience was. Now, in the oh-so-coveted demo, which AEW fan wants to hold their hat on, and Tony likes to champion, they lost that too. It was closer. I think it was, what, 0.2?
Something like 50,000 fans or something.
It was closer in terms of that, but they still lost the demo.
They did.
And from that next day when the ratings posted, we got the meltdown of Tony Khan.
It started even before the ratings came out, too. It was melting down.
And then but, I mean, it was the true meltdown. It was the he-couldn't-hide meltdown.
He couldn't.
Because, and the best part about it was he got really petty about it, too. It wasn't just the fact of, and I talked to Casey about this offline. It would be one thing if Tony had just simply come out and said, hey, you know, thank you for watching our show last night. We can't wait until next week when we're back on our regular time. See you then. If he had done that, I would have been like, you know what? Cool. More power to you. But instead, instead, he started this implosion of like, you know, someone posted the picture of Shawn, like a fan art of Shawn Michaels holding the Booker of the Year trophy. And he's like, well, I don't know. After tonight's show, I don't think that's applicable. And then he came out and did the pettiest of all, which essentially was, it's a shame to see that, you know, two streaks died this evening or like yesterday when John Cena and The Undertaker performed for less than a million people, which my favorite thing about the internet was in no time flat, they all jumped on and said, yeah, it's a shame that the other streak died too of Edge performing in less than 5,000 people, which was a ow moment. Because if you've seen the photos of Edge giving his promo on Dynamite, that hard cam is empty.
You notice, Brent, just as a side note, so I haven't seen everything AEW's been doing, but I've seen enough of what Edge has been doing. You notice how he's looking not at the hard camera, he's actually looking at the people behind the hard camera?
He's used to talking to people, so he has to go away from the camera to do this.
He's always looking away from the camera, which is so weird.
Or at Christian.
Or at Christian. But when he's in the ring by himself, he's always looking, he's always his back turned to the camera.
Yeah.
Which is what you're not supposed to do, right, Tim?
Yeah, when there's a camera on you, you face the camera and live audience be damned.
Well, unfortunately, all the live audience is on one side.
But that's what WWE
they
also
have
does.
To make it look good.
WWE's also done that in the past, but at least performers would stick to looking directly at the hard camera. Even Cody now goes, hey, for a second, I'm turning my back and talking to these people, and then I'm going to talk back to you people.
Yeah.
He at least acknowledges turning his back for a moment.
But, yeah, in terms of the overall with the ratings, and as much as everyone wants to say, oh, look, they threw everything they could at this in order to beat us, you know what my response to that is? Good. It made for a really good damn show. So if AEW wants to complain that, you know, oh, they pulled out all of these superstars to beat us, why shouldn't they? They should absolutely do it. And what it means is you now need to up your game when you go head-to-head again because you know what the bar is.
So Tim mentioned, you know, one of the reasons why is because they were going head-to-head. Another reason why WWE loaded up the show is to show other television networks who are interested in
NXT.
And NXT, hey, this is what we can do when we put our full marketing team behind a show.
And the one thing that's also in their favor with that, someone's in charge of creative fully.
He's been knighted, apparently.
Yeah, like Ari came along and told Vince, no, you're in the corporate dealings. You don't worry about creative anymore. And so that gives Paul a lot of leeway to be able to say things like, you know, yeah, let's bring some really big names to NXT and have them show up and make a splash. Let's turn this into a viable third brand and help elevate some of these people. And also, like, if we do want to have some people from NXT show up on the main roster without fully bringing them up, we can do it. Let's inject some new lifeblood. And it's really good to see. So anyone that's talking about the fact of like, oh, well, I don't, you know, they threw everything they could at this show and all of that. Like you and Lindsay brought up on Thursday, there was only really, what, one main roster?
There's a couple.
I mean, the Brutes.
The Brutes.
And Asuka.
That's about it. But they worked into the stories.
They worked into the stories. They featured, you know, good people from NXT. It wasn't just, you know, John Cena came in, lol, win.
No.
Like, they worked stories in there. They made it mean something. And next week, it's like, yeah, you kind of want to see what happens. Because now it's, well, who could show up?
It's always the question, who can show up next? And where could they show up next?
Yeah.
And it makes for unpredictable television, Tim.
It does. And that, you know, you're like, what'll happen next? Well, you know, that was the original basis for Raw. And they did shit on regular TV that you wouldn't expect to see on anything but a house show or a special event, or, you know, back then it was a pay-per-view. If NXT can revive and maintain what the original Raw was doing on a regular basis, it's just going to propel them that much further.
It will. Speak. Go ahead, Brent.
And I was going to say, I told you, the biggest thing I took away from this was that audience for AEW, that 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that points out that that is their absolute hardcore audience, the people that would follow them onto another night.
I would, yes and no, because that also shows how much the crossover between WWE and AEW is.
Well, that's what I mean. I was going to say, the typical audience for Dynamite is what, 850,000, 900,000?
In somewhere in that range. Lately,
where it's been sitting. So that shows me that there's about 200,000 to 300,000 people that are general wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
That will watch AEW when it's on Wednesdays. But when WWE had a show on there and loaded it, it pulled those eyes away. That's what I mean by it. It's telling of the fact of like, there was going to be, I think, like the 600,000 that they're going to be AEW fan. They're going to tune in no matter what. But there's that casual fan that makes up their audience that AEW is not winning in that head-to-head competition. And Tony needs to work on that.
There's a lot of things Tony needs to work on.
Right.
That would be one of them. Especially with the talent lineup he has. There's been a trend lately where everything is trending downwards in terms of ratings and attendance. You have to look around and go, why is everything on a downward trend? Especially their tickets are very expensive. That's part of their problem right now.
Well, their tickets are expensive and they're not able to sell the large arenas again. So it becomes...
Because they're expensive. They're too expensive. They're overselling their ticket prices, I guess. It's too high for their audience. Because the last times they're
overvaluing their product.
Overvalue. That's the word. Thank you. They're overvaluing their product right now. And they have to realize that because they started 90. There was one person who said the tickets they bought were $94. The next week they were $24.
Yeah, the funny thing is when you first see how, you know, what they're retailing at, and then like the week before the show, they're basically giving them away to try and put people in seats. Honestly, what they need to do is they need to start running smaller arenas.
Which they can't. For a lot of reasons. One of which they've booked out arenas for a year. So,
which means you're possibly going to continue to run in the red though.
Depending on how you price yourself, because they've apparently booked out their schedule for a year or a good chunk for a while where they can't.
Well, that part of that's also WWE with their new policies in terms of using arenas as well.
That too, and it just makes sense for travel and everything to have everything planned out. But one thing you hear a lot, and this was something we all heard about Impact Wrestling back in the day, back in, it's like, what, 2007, 2008, 2006, when they were traveling. No one knew you're coming to town.
Yeah, that's the other big problem. And guess what, Rock? What do those two things have in common right now?
J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is not a good sign if you're trying to do a show and you're trying to fill an arena like that and no one knows you're coming. That you're relying simply on where AEW, we have a dedicated fan base that will find us.
You got to get out and promote, Tim. Don't you?
You got to watch.
You got to get out and promote the local towns.
You don't let people know what you're doing. People ain't going to know what you're doing.
You got to tell them. You got to do local media. Like, one thing that benefited them was Grand Slam. They had MJF go out day or two before, but that's a day or two before.
Yeah, by that point, you've got things pretty much. It's hard to make plans. It's hard to be like, ooh, I want to go see a show 2 days before.
No, you know, back when I was running Canadian All Pro Wrestling, my brother worked at one of the major local newspapers in town. And I would message him and say, hey, Mike, get Page Six to give us a mention. We're doing a show this Saturday at whatever place at whatever time. And sure enough, the next day, we were all over Page Six. Now, at the time, this newspaper, Page Six, was the page everybody read first before they read everything else. It was one of those multi columns. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
hold on. I didn't hear about AEW coming to town until the day of when DMD did an interview on local radio. Yeah, that's not good.
Well, here's the other part I would say with AEW that's a problem. How many of their jobs are filled with wrestlers?
Depends. 50-50.
But I mean, for something like a marketing thing, for something like getting word out,
they have an actual company. But there are people, wrestlers, Jeff Jarrett oversees part of some of the live event stuff. And
there's that. There's you've got QT Marshall in charge of digital. You've got Daniels in charge of talent.
But that talent is different.
I understand the talent part, but what I'm saying is like the one thing I will give E credit for, and I know they've been around for a long time and everything, but when it comes to stuff like establishing touring, establishing other stuff, you have professionals, you know, people that have years and years of experience in just general promotion helping to run that for you.
They have some of that, and it's not to discredit any of the wrestling talent. There are professionals in that area for that company too.
Well, and not to discredit it, but also to me it's that idea of if you have someone that's doing setting up promotion, setting up touring, setting up all of that, I want someone that's their sole focus. I don't want someone, in my personal opinion, like, don't get me wrong, Jeff Jarrett's a great guy, but if he's splitting time between trying to set all of this stuff up and, you know, coordinating with however many towns you're trying to get coordinated with, and then also, shit, I have a match later tonight. I need to prep for and make sure that everything's ready for that. It pulls focus away from what it should be. Whereas I, you know, and I understand that they're still a 4-year company, but at the same time, you've got to start investing in that kind of infrastructure if you want to grow. If you have wrestlers doing all of that kind of stuff, it feels like you've handcuffed yourself in that respect because you're pulling attention in a couple of different places. And that's just me.
And I see your point. Moving away from that for a minute. Talked about unpredictability a minute or two ago. We're now back with a new general manager of SmackDown out of nowhere. Zen, the former NWA champion, former Impact champion, Nick Aldis.
So many people were like, who's this guy?
I like that he didn't get an entrance down the ramp. He came from the timekeeper's area.
He's right here. He's standing just awkwardly standing right here.
He's just right there. Hey, here's Nick Aldis. And I think a lot of the fans were like, wait, who?
Are we excited for general managers again?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
It's hokey. It's just, there's good old school and not so good old school. And having a general manager just, in today's world, for me, it just doesn't work.
I mean, we've had the same authority figure in charge for a while. For 4 years. We've had Sonya Deville mixed in as well with him, but they weren't called general managers. We're just using that term now. I don't think any of that's going to change right away.
Yeah, Pierce had he did have a title.
But it wasn't general manager.
No.
Just authority figure.
Yeah.
But literally, I think that's what they called him, just the authority figure. Adam
no,
Pierce.
He had a title.
What was it then?
I can't remember.
Brent's going to Google it for you.
Use DuckDuckGo.
But anyway, you're not you're not a fan of using it.
Not
as
a fan of general managers. I mean, SmackDown now has an anonymous general manager.
But okay, so besides the Googles, is Nick Aldis a good choice though? Being a since he's a former professional wrestler, does he show some authority? See the right choice?
How well known is he to WWE fans?
Depends on what type of wrestling you watch. If you're a fan of Impact Wrestling, you know who he is. If you're a fan of the NWA, you know who he is. He's been around a long time.
He has, but WWE lives off the casual.
Okay, on that same point, who was Adam Pearce before he just became the guy?
That is a good point. It was just all of a sudden, oh, there's Adam Pearce, and we didn't necessarily know his background.
No one knew his background right away, unless you followed professional wrestling.
So officially, I know this isn't the on-screen thing. Officially, Adam Pearce was director of live events. So he had the Jeff Jarrett role.
Yeah. But that was not his on-air position, though.
No. And I'm trying to find what they called him on air, but no one's really saying it.
Well, man, do we think he eventually gets back in the ring and someone like Regal takes his spot? Or his wife, Mickey, if they bring her back? I don't know. I don't know.
Go ahead, Brock.
I don't know.
See, to me, I don't mind current GMs as long as they continue in the guise / inspiration that Adam Pearce has done for the past few years. Because Pearce has never been the dictatorial GM role that we've seen in the past, and that's where I would get sick of it. That's where I would not agree with doing GMs, is if it's your Eric Bischoff, Stephanie McMahon, Jonathan Coachman style GM. That I think is played out. That when it's the authority figure going, I'm going to screw ...
Right.
That feels overplayed. But if it's just the fact of you have that authority figure now, where if you have two people beefing in the back and it's just like, well, I'm going to go talk to Adam Pearce or I'm going to go talk to Nick Aldis and get this official for the night, I have no problem with that. Because it at least gives it that sense of, like, yeah, if you do have a problem, you're going to go to whoever is in charge to be like, I want to fight them. And they'll go, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. You're Teddy Long style GM. I think that's fine. The second that it becomes Nick Aldis, quote unquote, abuses his power or wants to get in the ring, that's where I have issue. That's why I thought it was funny when they did the whole, like, Adam Pearce was going to get in the ring for that little bit.
Yeah.
And even though it was former NWA champion, he played it really well of like, no, I don't want to do this. Like,
I'm retired.
I'm done. I'm out, guys. I'm going to get someone to fight for me.
Yeah.
I think that works better in terms of a GM role than like Nick Aldis going to be like, I'm going to defend the right of whatever, or like he puts himself, he does the edge kind of thing of like, I'm going to put myself in position to get what I want. That's where I'm like, no. I don't want to see this. It's been done. It's tired.
Is that what you're thinking too, Tim?
Yeah, pretty much.
So there you go. So we'll see what happens. Adam Pearce is now Raw. Nick Aldis, SmackDown. Hopefully it goes well.
Well, and I think having two GMs like that is good because then they can each just hype up their show.
Yeah, there's no confusion, especially when like drafting and stuff. It's
yeah, when Adam Pearce had to do both drafts,
it made no sense.
Like, yeah, it's this awkwardness of like, so is he trying to stack a roster more than the other? Is he, does he have to go, do you have to like fantasy football both sides? Like, well, I really want two very, very good teams. So how do I do this properly?
See, that kind of general manager I'm good with where
yeah,
they're looking to benefit themselves and their brand.
Well, and I think having something like Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, it can be a professional rivalry where it doesn't have to be antagonistic of like, oh, I hate SmackDown, but it's more along the lines of like, hey, we just did this. What are you going to do? And it's like, okay, yeah. All right, it's on.
He also said, I'll see you at the draft.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw the results of some of that on Friday night as well, because we had the Jey Uso trade and then we end up seeing the result of it. And it's like, yeah, both sides
made out,
get a good deal.
Yeah, which is now Kevin Owens is on SmackDown.
Poor Sammy. His buddy left him.
But now Kevin Owens is back on SmackDown. And this past week, Roman Reigns was back. he confronted John Cena, who then brought out who will probably be the new number one contender, because John Cena hasn't earned it.
He acknowledged, let me talk to you.
He had not. That was, he acknowledged it.
That was a good. That was a good line and a good moment, because you had Cena there, and everyone kind of thinks, "Oh, here it comes. Cena's going to get his title shot, or you know, going to stake claim." And yeah, he just flat out was like, "No, I haven't earned this. I'm not going for it." But this guy, someone has.
This guy over here, yeah.
And holy shit, the roof blew off for him again.
How do you think he handled it being in the ring with Roman?
The part that I think sold everything to me, I think he can hang with Roman on the microphone. I think he has presence enough. Did you see the look on Paul Heyman's face when the music hit?
The oh shit.
It wasn't even like a shocked oh shit. It was Heyman's looking at Cena, and you hear the L.A. Knight, and you see Heyman's face sink and his eyes close, and it's just the, oh god, no. Like, you could tell he's thought about this, and it's just the, no, not him, no. And I think that helps put him over even more, the fact that Heyman understands that it's like, this guy is, not to pull a copyright thing here, but he's possibly the next big thing.
He's the fastest rising star they have right now.
Yeah, there's currently no possibly about it. He is the next big thing.
And the fact that he can get the pop and the people behind him as easy as he can with that music hitting and just dominate the segment that he's in tells you a lot.
It does. And it, go ahead.
It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, we've had a Kevin Owens out there. And Owens is a good contender. He's the prize fighter. He's a former champion. You've had your Cenas, but I think a lot of people have thought, you know, okay, yeah, John's not going to win because he's going back to Hollywood whenever. You know, he pops in for his appearances and, you know, a big match here and there, but no one really believed it. As much as I think some people wanted Sammy or Jay to win, it's like, okay, but it didn't feel right at the moment. Or with Jay, it was the, can he really carry the title? And I think we're still trying to see where he is as a full main eventer, because he hasn't been a single star for long. But LA Knight, when he was in NXT, he had the people eating out of the palm of his hands. When he was in Impact, he had the people eating out of the palm of his hands. And the fans on the main roster turned him when the company did not want to originally. They had him slated to be Max Dupree. They were gonna, you know, put him as a manager, have him with the models, try to get his charisma in that respect. And the fans just went, no, we don't want that. We want the thing we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them having to go, shit, okay, let's try this. And the second they did, it took off. And it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess we're going with this now.
Which is good.
Yeah. This is one of those things where giving the people what they want is not a bad thing, and the people are rewarding it with things like merchandise sales, with tuning in and cheering him. It's getting the results that you want. It's one of those things where people are talking about, oh, they don't give people a chance. No, they do, but you have to go along with it. You can't just go, we want this guy to, you know, be in charge, you know, we want this guy to get a title shot, and then when he does, you just go, okay, cool. It's like, you've got to show up. And they've been showing up for him, and it just keeps it rolling. It keeps things going well. And so it makes me wonder, is it time for him?
He's proving that he's not just the it person now. He's looking to be the long-term person.
Yeah, he's not a flash in the pan. It's, he wants to stake his claim in the company if you give him that chance. And it's like, hell, this could be one of those times where it's like, you give him the chance, you put the strap on him and then see how he carries himself. If he doesn't carry himself, you can easily drop the belt back or have him drop it to someone else. But if he's the one to unseat and people are all about it, that takes it to even more of a new level. And I'm kind of here for it.
Are you too, Tim, here for it?
Seeing such a sustained reaction for a WWE star since the beginning of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, I am not comparing LA Knight to Steve Austin. I am not comparing the height of Austin's popularity with what we're seeing right now. I am making the illusion that it is currently a parallel to the beginning of this Stone Cold character. And it is. And it's all about what you were saying. Like, okay, you guys wanted this? We're giving it to you. but you got to sustain it. I mean, Shawn Michaels was one of the most popular wrestlers of the Attitude Era, but he could not get over as champion. Will L.A. Knight be able to be over as champ like Stone Cold was when he carried the belt, like The Rock was when he would win the title? Or is he going to be somebody who's better chasing the title, which was half of Steve Austin's career, chasing something?
Lance brings up, they also tease Cody and Roman. Is Cody still the guy if LA Knight isn't?
Yes, because as we just discussed in the previous segment, it's two different brands still. You can have, in my opinion, you can have LA Knight be, you know, fighting right on up there to be the face of SmackDown. And Cody is arguably, I mean, I think him and Seth are one and one very small A, the faces of Raw.
I would much rather see that match than Cody Roman.
We've already seen Cody Roman, and I think when it comes to Cody and Roman, it could just be the who is the biggest dog in the yard, you know, who, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily to me mean it has to be it has to be the universal title.
What happens if LA Knight loses? Will the fans still be as into him?
Can't answer that till it happens, can you?
You can't.
Really?
But you can think about it because you look at how many people they've cooled off. So far, Sammy's been pretty good. Kevin's been pretty good. Jey Uso's been very strong. They've all lost to Roman.
Drew
is still Drew.
Yeah, Drew's hanging out there, but I think they were just kind of trying to figure out what to do with him.
But Drew didn't have that popularity rise. He was always Drew, just happened to be in front of his hometown. Sammy was on a rise. Kevin was on a rise.
Jey was definitely on a rise.
Yeah.
On a rebound more so than a rise.
Well, I would say overall he was a rise because I count the first run as well.
Yeah, that's what I was more going with.
All right.
I think in terms of LA Knight, if they did have him lose to, like, let's say if they faced him off with Roman were to win, let's say something like a Rumble or whatever pay-per-view you're doing this with. I think the fans are still behind him because he has captured something right now. And it's the same kind of thing with Sammy. Like, when Sammy broke out from the Bloodline, Sammy's always had kind of charisma. He's just never had the good spots, in my opinion. They gave him a good spot with Roman, and he's been utilizing it. He's been really kind of elevating stuff. They've been giving him, you know, they've been putting him in the positions to kind of take the rise. And, I mean, as we talked about before, this all stems back from the Johnny Knoxville feud and being willing to engage in that, knowing that it's probably going to lead to something better. Not that it's a great spot, you know, performing against a celebrity that's going to get you a lot of just general attention. But in terms of that, knowing that he's willing to play ball, it's kind of the Miz factor. Knowing that you're willing to kind of play ball and do some of the stuff that you have to, they're going to give you some of the stuff that you want later. Kevin's, I think, also another good example of, like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do what you want me to, and then people like Hunter or Vince will be like, okay, we're going to give you, you know, a main event spot here as a thank you. And I think LA Knight is kind of going along with, you know, he's been put in spots and he's made the best out of them in terms of the feuds, and he's just generally exciting in the ring to the point where it's like, yeah, I think the fans are still going to be behind him even after, if, you know, he were to become a victim of the one.
Well, back when Brock was a title holder, look at how many times they put Roman up against him before Roman finally got that title. How many times he almost won, but didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then the next step would then be, say he loses, and you determine how WWE pushes him. Would a Royal Rumble win and then maybe challenging for a World Heavyweight title not be a bad consolation prize for the LA Knight push?
So Knight versus, say, like a Rollins or McIntyre or something along those lines.
At a WrestleMania, yeah.
At a Mania. Mm-hmm. That, having him as, yeah, ooh, that's really appealing.
Because you can lose to Roman and still win the Rumble, and then you're still in a good spot.
You could have either that or win, like, a chamber and get a shot as well.
I think a Rumble would be bigger.
Right. No, I agree with that. I just didn't know in terms of, like, how you set up the other match.
Yeah, it's, let's see, it's October now. We're 4 months away from the Rumble, right?
Three and a half?
Three
and two thirds, whatever.
Maybe three in a week.
January 27th. So do your math.
3.5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 3.5. I would not have LA Knight face off against Roman this year at all.
Well,
in a match.
Well,
keep them apart. LA Knight gets the win at the Rumble. Or you could have him lose against Roman, but win the Rumble.
That's what I'm saying.
And pick Roman again instead of picking Seth / Drew, whoever.
Well, the reason why I say he won't get Roman a second time, I think if Dwayne is going to be the guy coming back, I think Dwayne's going to pick Roman. Call it a hunch. So,
It's more than a hunch.
Yeah. It's a big if Dwayne doesn't, but
it's not that big.
Wait, you mean that guy from Fortnite?
The guy from Fortnite Battle Royale, the ultimate Battle Royale experience. Use credit card Rocket Second Fortnite item shop. # epic partner.
Ding.
Oh, there's a bunch of DC stuff in the shop right now, if that's your thing.
The cousin comes in and lets Roman know who the real head of the table is.
Kind of the idea.
The guy who kind of set the stage recently for him to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we'll see. We'll see what they do with LA Knight.
Just keep in mind, sometimes things are a little too obvious for the average viewer.
Mm-hmm. And which is why it's probably LA Knight and Roman Reigns and Crown Jewel on November 4th. So look out for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was loud.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that was so loud.
But I'm
sorry.
I think we're done for the night.
That's the evening. That is another edition of WTR Sunday Night. New week kicks off tomorrow night, immediately following Raw Rock.
It is the Raw post show. And will the producer be upset or happy at the result of game one of the NLCS? Tune in. Find out. It's the Raw post show.
All I can tell you is that it's only game one.
It's only game one.
You have to win four of them.
Win four. It begins tomorrow night. So,
I feel absolutely horrible having to ask this question, but I've been just so freaking busy that I haven't been able to pay attention. Who are they facing?
The Diamondbacks.
And what about the AL?
Chat, correct me wrong, it's Houston and Texas?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and that game one's happening now.
That's like the Subway Series of baseball.
No, the Subway Series is...
Yeah, I know. It's the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's the Longhorn Series.
Okay, it's the Dusty Trail Series.
Anyway, the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And, of course, the lovely Lindsay Ward returns Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show.
We'll have news, notes, and a discussion. It's the Rack, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And I've noticed that you go live on Twitch TV sporadically throughout the weekdays, not just on designated nights, playing Fortnite with friends.
No.
And stuff.
No.
And things.
No, those are just me testing stuff. That's not actual stream. That's me.
If you want to catch an actual stream and catch Fortnite with friends, Saturday night's the time.
We got a win yesterday.
We did 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The season's coming in 3 weeks, so we'll have more Fortnite. Fortnite Mares time. So things are looking good. Remember, use credit code RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop, # epic partner. But after that, it's 800 episodes of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night CB radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Be there.
Next Sunday night, we should do stuff, don't you think?
We will be doing a show next Sunday night. Well, you two will be doing a show next Sunday night. I'm going to be watching the Eagles game as I produce the show. But you two will be talking wrestling next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Hey,
who are the Eagles playing?
The Dolphins.
I might have that on TV in the background, so we'll see. That means this week, Brent, you and I, we got to brainstorm and come up with something fun.
Okie dokie.
All right. That being said, everybody, social media, we're all over the place. Wild Talk Radio on the Facebooks.
Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm on Facebook. Follow me at Flames Forums.
On Facebook at Flames Forums?
No, on the Twitters.
There you go.
I'm sorry, on Twixer.
There you go.
At Flames Forums.
I'm just busy checking out
the pages on Facebook and got stuck there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so follow me at Flames Forums if you're not. You can follow Brent at Kane Kittens.
Yep, I'm on Twitter and Threads at Kane Kittens. You can also hear me Saturday nights doing either a full or abbreviated version of the Intern's Corner, depending upon if we play some weird, unusual games or not. Find out what kind of horrible things people look up on Google.
They look up.
I can imagine
weird things on Google.
There you go. Maybe and of course, our buddy who's not around, Keishi Matsunaga. You can find him on the Instagram and the Twixer, you know, at Kyle Driver, like Pile Driver, but with a K. He's also got a Redbubble shop. Check it out. You'll find the link on his Insta.
Link in the descriptions.
In the descriptions.
That's how the cool kids say it. Check out my link in my description.
Check out the link in the descriptions, yo.
Link in the bio. Don't forget to smash that like button, ring the notification bell, you know, all that jazz.
Make sure you follow.
Hello, fellow kids.
Make sure you follow the channel, ring the bell, turn notifications on, know when we go live here on
You'll know about it.
On twitch.tv/WTRLive. But this has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio, Long Day was at a Wild Talk Radio Network. This is where Tim will tell us to go home now.
I don't care where the hell you go, but you can't stay here. Have a good night, everybody. See you later, Brent.
See you later, Brent.
Wild Talk Radio Network.